Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning and afternoon as we gather together for fellowship. We thank you because you have given us this word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that that light, God who commanded that light to shine out of darkness, will shine the light of his word into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's talk about it this morning. You know, let's check the barometer and see, you know, how much spiritual stamina, ruggedness we have within us. And can we bounce back from various things that the enemy will throw at us from time to time? Can we do it? Well, you know, let's find out. You know, let me start off by saying that I love to watch boxing matches sometimes. And I always like to use that illustration of bouncing back when, a good prize fighter, he may get knocked down in between the rounds. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean they have lost the bout. They may still come back and win. And I've seen a few like that. You know, so when you get knocked down, and I've often said, you know, do we stay down for the count? In one corner, the opposite corner, the shout rings out, stay down, throw in the towel. In the other corner, which is your corner, the encouragement rings out, get up, get up. Now, who is in your corner and which corner are you listening to? Well, across the ring, the devil is telling you to stay down. You're done already. You are defeated. Stay down. I'm going to wipe the mat with your face. Well, over on this side, the Lord is on your side. The angel of the Lord is telling you, get up. Get up. And I'll give strength to the hands that are feeble. I will strengthen the knees that are weak. I will cause your head to be lifted up. I'll be your glory and the lifter up of your head. I will be with you. I'm right here. Take my hand. And all kinds of encouragement coming from the Lord, all kinds of discouragement coming across the ring. Well, you know, what is it? You know, they train which one you're going to, you know, respond to. They train for many months, you know, hard. They train hard. Even Paul wrote about it. He said, those that strive for masteries, they're temperate in all things. They train hard. You know, they put their body through tremendous pain because you don't know the pain that you're going to be, you know, the opponent is going to inflict on you when you get in that ring. So they have to practice the pain. And practice, you know, what they're going to do when the pain is inflicted. It's one thing to be able to dish it out. It's another thing for you to be able to take it. Well, can you take it? Can you take one on the chin, take one in the gut and still bounce back. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And he talked about ruggedness. You know, he said, well, you know, you must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, things may not always be easy. And as a matter of fact, according to Psalm 34 and verse 19, you're going to have a lot of challenges. So Paul says to Timothy, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You got to be rugged. You know, you need to be able to take, you know, a few punches and don't stay down for the count and come back. Hallelujah. And angry, engage. Praise God. You know, Psalm 34:19 tells us that many, see, not few, and not even some, but many. What is many? Well, many is many. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the good news is, we know the Lord will deliver them, him from them all. You know, when I was a young man, my dad used to quote this verse all the time. When he prayed, he would quote it and so forth. And I was like, what do you mean, many? Why does the righteous have to be afflicted? I never knew that that was life. You know, I thought, well, maybe they're afflicted because they've gone astray. You know, the psalmist said that. In Psalm 119, he said, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, I used to think, well, you know, really, you can avoid all the afflictions and so forth. But, you know, as I grew up later on, and I think the Lord was amused all those times. And I used to think those things, you know, and for the most part, actually, you know, my faith carried me. But I guarantee you, there is absolutely no way that you can go through this life journey without being afflicted. There is just no way. You know, you might be able to, you know, avoid some, you know, and escape some and overcome many, but you, afflicted, you will be. And that's not being negative. That's just calling out the way it is. So when I read Psalm 119, verse 67, you know, as a young man, I would think that, well, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's what it says. So if you don't go astray, maybe you won't be afflicted. But that's not the case at all. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, you know, the Bible says time and chance happen to them all. The difference is how you respond. See? That's how you respond. Now, if you faint, according to Proverbs 24 and verse 10, well, if you faint in the day of adversity, well, then what does it mean? Well, it means that your strength is small. That's what it says. Say, if thou faint in the day of adversity, then we conclude that your strength is small. But God doesn't want our strength to be small. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and other places, in verse 10, he tells us to be strong in the Lord. See, and in the power of his might. You know, God doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want us to be ping pong in the devil's hands, push you all over the place. You know, even though we're talking about bounce back, we're not, you know, expecting that you'll be knocked down many times. But we're saying that if and when you do get knocked down, well, you got to bounce back. You know, that's all it is. You know, Paul wrote something, you know, he said, look, quit ye like men. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. You know, quit doesn't mean give up. No, exactly the opposite. He said, look, don't be feeble is what that statement means. Don't be feeble in your minds. Be strong in the Lord. And, you know, stand in the day of battle. Well, what are you going to do? Ephesians tells us, you know, he said, well, having done all, you must stand. Well, can you be that last man standing? The devil will throw so many things against you, but you got to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what he says in Ephesians 6 and 11. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But what are spiritual wickedness? Well, you know, it happens even around us every day. I mean, they are out there, you know, forces of spiritual wickedness trying to take away lives. you know, sometimes somebody's driving down the road and boom, you know, tire goes out, the wheel goes, axle wheel or something goes out, you know, and they are struggling trying to maintain control and they crash into something. Oh, spiritual wickedness trying to take their life, you know, in cities where they depend a lot on traffic lights and different things. All of a sudden, traffic light may go out, people start colliding, you know, or something goes wrong somewhere that causes, you know, a ripple effect of calamities. People clash on the roads and accident and so forth. The spiritual wickedness behind those accidents, you know. And then what about illnesses and sicknesses and, you know, behind it too? I mean, one day, you know, somebody's going on their happy, merry way. The next day, boom, you know, they fall down like that. Something strikes. You know, this, you know how these cobras, they're coiled up like that. And they're waiting to strike. A cobra is a deadly, and it's got some deadly venom. And he's looking for a place to strike. And he might strike, but he might hit a brick wall. If you put up enough defenses, he might actually hit a brick wall. Well, that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God. You know, so that, you know, when the devil strikes, you will hit a brick wall. But sometimes he will cheap shot you. That's right. For the most part, if we are able to keep our defense systems up without a crack, then all is good. The devil may not be able to get in. But occasionally, it happens to the best of us. A devil will strike. Sometimes it's when you least expect it, you know. But there's an antidote for that one, is be expectant. You should be expecting that the devil is going to strike. Well, you're in a warfare. I mean, if you're in a battle or you're in a war, you cannot just be assuming that the enemy is not going to strike. They will strike, you know. And gathering intelligence, when you think that they're not going to strike, they're going to strike. You know, some of them even come with, you know, false intentions to the table of peace. So that when you say peace and safety, boom, they strike you. And that happens to believers as well. You know, when you are a little careless and so on, you know, and you're not paying attention, a devil can get you. You know, he's looking for that crack where he can get in there and strike. You know, but, you know, if we can close those gaps, we can actually prevent a lot of those strikes. When he strikes, he hits a brick wall. Well, whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. That cobra is waiting. The Bible says it's a serpent, that old serpent. Well, it's a wily one too, looking for a crack to strike. So that's one aspect, you know. Close the gaps and avoid a lot of things. You know, put on your prayer garment all the time. You can avoid, but I guarantee you, one way or another, sometime the enemy will get an opening and he will strike. You know, and it could strike through sickness, illness. It could strike through, it could be yourself, a loved one. Sometimes you try to get your child or this and that. I mean, it's just, look, he's been doing this for thousands of years. So he's got a lot of things in his repertoire. He knows many tricks. Well, we've got also the Ancient of Days with us. We've got the wisdom of the ages. And the Lord said, look, I will instruct you in the way you should go. If we pray more, God can guide us and keep us from more evil, you know. We should look carefully, you know, before we take steps sometimes. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't use wisdom. And then, you know, we fall into all kinds of things. I believe by faith, it doesn't matter what you fall in. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, he said, look, I got into a lot of things, but the Lord, he pulled me out. Well, you know, so I believe that the Lord, he pull you out if you get, I mean, if you trust the Lord, no matter, you know, the quicksand or merry clay, be like quicksand and so forth, and he will get you out of there. I waited patiently for the Lord, he said in Psalm 40, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet on the rock, and established my goings. He also put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God. Many shall see it, fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord can do that. He can pull you out of a, you know, no matter what you're in. And that's what our message is in today. Trust the Lord to pull you out. You know, by faith, God will pull you out of no matter what situation is. But by wisdom, you can avoid that pit in the first place. You know, if you use wisdom and you use discretion, you can avoid a lot of pitfalls in the first place. However, nonetheless, when you fall into the pit, if you cry out to the Lord, he'll get you out of there. But we encourage people to seek wisdom and seek discretion and understanding. And that may prevent you from many snares. You know, and also daily contact with the Lord prevents snares. And not just, you know, a brief prayer, spending more time with the Lord. You know, God will keep us. He's able to keep whatsoever we commit into his hands. So we know he can do all of that. So we're not saying that people should wait until they fall into problems before they try to climb out of it. We're saying that, well, the Lord can help you avoid many of those things in the first place. However, there will be times that you will fall into it. You know, the devil will strike. And there are some people who are, you know, are unfortunate. They have situations. And people are quick to judge when people fall into situations. You know, one time, you know, there was a story in the book of John, chapter 9. You know, there was a story there. And they asked Jesus, well, this man that was born blind, so there was a man. The Bible says he was born blind from his birth. And they saw him. And disciples asked him, John chapter 1, asked the Lord, Master, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? His parents or himself? And, you know, what was Jesus' answer? Well, Jesus said, neither has this man sinned, nor yet his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Well, I tell you, that's one of the hardest things I've ever read in this Bible. Well, a long time ago, I pondered on this thing greatly. I'm like, wow, this man, in a suffered blindness for 40 years. You know, you read later on, you know, you will find out, you know, how long he has been blind like that. For all that, you know, that the works of God should be made manifest in you. Well, what are the works of God in this case? Was it his blindness? That was the works of God? Of course not. It's not the works of the devil. But on the day that he was made whole, then were the works of God fulfilled. But why did he have to go through all of that in order for the works of God to be fulfilled? Well, I don't know. Can the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? You can't do it. You know, if you have been a vessel of mercy, that you are not experiencing those kind of things, well, then praise the Lord. But, you know, let's not be quick to judge those who are in that kind of situation, because you don't know. You know, so because, you know, sometimes when people are going through stuff, you know, you think that, well, it's because they don't have faith. It's because this and that. No, it may not be any of those things at all. We don't know. You know, so let's leave that part alone. However, what we do know is this. You, as the person that's going through, you must not stay down for the count. That's the exhortation to us today. One of my favorite places in the Bible on this topic, I've said it many times. Micah 7 and 8. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. That's right. This is an absolute bounce back verse in this Bible. He said, look, you can knock me down, but I'm not going to stay down for the count. That's what he said. You know, he said, when I fall, however I fall, whether I trip or I'm knocked down, it doesn't matter. But somehow, you know, I find myself on the ground. Well, I'm going to pick myself up and I shall arise. You see, that's the thing. That's the bounce back portion. Fall because the enemy set a trap for you. Fall because you made a mistake. Fall because the devil pushed you down. Whatever the reason of the fall, this man said, look, I shall arise. Glory to God. That's a bounce back attitude. And he said, look, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light on you. We should never be in darkness. Jesus said, you know, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, look, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, so if we are following the Lord, we should not walk in darkness, you know, but we should have the light of life. But yeah, unfortunately, the reality of life is there are times when we sit, we're not walking in darkness, but we sit in darkness. We're just gloomy, sad, depressed, all kinds of, the weight of everything just weighs you down. It seems like the voice of the Lord is not there, you know, but you must get up out of that, you know, slum or that you're in. You get out of it. Praise the Lord. When I sit in darkness, I'm going to look to the light. The light, the Lord will be a light unto me. I'm going to get out of that darkness. I'm not going to sit in the darkness all day long. Well, there's going to be times. I mean, sometimes you wake up, you may even hear some bad news or something the devil fabricated against you or against, you know, your ears, you know, for you to hear something or whatever. I mean, some people just get up sometimes. They're just heavy. I mean, they were fine the day before. The devil attacks our minds, attacks our body, attacks different things and so forth. But what must you do in situations like this? You know, this is the thing. What must we do? You know, we know that there are some people in the Bible that gave their testimonies. Micah was the one we just read. It's one of them. Habakkuk is another one. I've quoted these verses all the time because they're good. Habakkuk 3:17-19, he talks about, you know, financial crisis, you know, lost a lot of things, lost investment, lost his source of income. Things are closed up on him. Fig tree not blossoming, store, you know, nothing in the stocks and stalls and everything cut off. Yeah, well, what was his response? You might call it an answer of faith. It's what I call it. Micah's answer of faith was, well, I'm going to bounce back. This man's answer of faith was, well, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to let the devil take my joy just because I lose certain things. You know, well, you know, depression comes when we place our mind and our attention, our hearts into all these things that are temporary. That's why Colossians says, look, set your affection, Colossians chapter 3, on things that are above, you know, and not on things beneath, where Christ sitteth, you know, the right hand of God. When we set our affection on things beneath, well, when we lose those things, depression sets in. When you set your affection on things above, you can never lose things above. They're always there. You know, the joy that the Lord gives, the thought and hope of being in his presence one day, and all the good things that surround the, you know, things of the Lord, the unction from the throne and what's happening out there. You're putting your things on the things of, your attention on the things of the kingdom. You know, well, if you lose these natural things, huh? So they are things. That's all they are. They're just things. You know, and then, you know, God will bring restoration. But if we set our affection on those things, your job is your number one source of whatever, you know, then when you lose that job, of course, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be in a serious situation. Well, what's the antidote for that? Well, Philippians 4:19 tells you, you know, how to set our minds straight. My God shall supply, you know, our needs. Not according to your job that you have, or according to the job you don't have, according to your bank account, or according to your investments. No, but according to his riches in glory. So that's the secret of bouncing back from losses of jobs and different things like that. You know, you got to be able to find the right admonition and encouragement in the scriptures and use that to gain your recovery. You know, sometimes things don't go very well. You know, we look for something this way, but other times it goes the other way. Sometimes we earn money and it looks like you're putting it in a bag of holes. I mean, there's always something breaking in the house. Your car is breaking down, this one and that one. And then you have to spend all this money on that. It's like earning money to put in a bag of holes. Well, anyway, that's an oppressing spirit that you need to deal with. If you find yourself in that kind of situation, don't take it lightly. The devil is at work. And you gotta count. You have to have your spiritual antennas up, you know, and all kinds of things just start going wrong all at once, you know, one after the other. The enemy is at work, and you gotta get to the root of it. You know, it's like weed that's growing in a garden. You can't just cut the weed at the top. Well, you gotta pull it out, the root from the ground. Because you cut it at the top, it's still going to grow again. So you have to uproot the thing. So you got to go to the root cause sometimes. Sometimes it needs spiritual discernment. You know, it needs, you know, discerning of the spirit that's at work to be able to know when things are constantly going wrong. And, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit also, he can reveal it and help us to realign ourselves, put ourselves in the right place where we ought to be, you know, and so on. You know, but sometimes there's roughness that we may face, but you've got to be rugged, you know. So, I mean, there are some vehicles that are built for rough terrains, you know, like the Jeeps, you know, and so forth. It can go into the rough places, you know, which some other regular luxury cars cannot go into. Jesus said, well, what went you out into the desert for? To see a man clothed with soft linen riding luxury cars? Yeah, that one can't make it. You know, their suspension system is not built for those rough terrains. They can't do it. But you get into those Wranglers and those Jeeps, aha, now you're talking. You know, so how are you built? Are you built for toughness, to handle roughness and hard times? Well, Paul said to Timothy, you better, you know, shape up and endure hardness. As a good soldier, you know, you're a soldier. You're not just here to play. Soldier is trained, you know. They have to be trained. Endure, because you don't know what's coming at you from time to time. You know, so when we face roughness, when we face the unevenness and on uneven roads, you know, our prayer is that the Lord will straighten out the road ahead of us, make things smooth and straight. And we should believe that. And you should declare that because the Bible says so. You know, however, that's not always the case. You know, there are valleys and there are mountains. There are smooth places and there are rough places. Isaiah 40 and verse 4 says, you know, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places made plain. So that means there are valleys, there are mountains, there are smooth roads and rough roads. And, you know, some are crooked sometimes and God can make them straight, you know, but we've got to be able to take it. You know, whether you are on the rough road, fine. When you're on the smooth road, take it. You know, anyhow, you know, enjoy the when it's smooth, you know, but develop the ruggedness when it is rough. That's right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14 says, well, in the day of prosperity, when you are in on the smooth road and everything is going well, well, rejoice. But the road is not going to be smooth the whole time. Sometimes you come into the rough road called the day of adversity. Well, what should you do then? Well, consider. What does it mean to consider? Well, check it out. Here's what it means. Check out the reason for both the good, the prosperity on the one side, and the evil and adversity on the other side. Why? You know, why is it not all the way just smooth all the way through? There's not a single person on this platform that can tell me that, oh, their journey, you know, is always smooth. They don't. Never had a sickness, never had a setback, never lost a job, never had a situation you had to deal with. It's just not the case. That's not the way it is. You know, and the best of us have to deal with these things. And the reason is, Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, well, God has set one over against the other. He allows these things to be in our lives, side by side. You know, to help us develop ruggedness and the capacity that is needed. And our trust should be on him and not on anything else. I mean, if everything is always smooth, you may think you don't need the Lord. If everything is always bad, well, you know, some people get discouraged. So God tempers everything. There's a little bit of, you know, 12 hours of the day, 12, you know, a few hours of the night. I mean, they go hand in hand. Night and darkness from the beginning. You know, God commanded the light to shine, but he left the darkness in place. You know, it tells you there's a reason for it. You know, and I've often said that, well, God could have rebuked the darkness, but he didn't. He could have said, let the darkness be no more. And there would have been no more darkness, but he did not. All he said was, let there be light. You know, but he did not abolish the darkness. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. You know, which means there was a purpose for it. Otherwise, God would not have named it. And so you're going to have those nights. But what you have to remember is that the night cannot last forever. According to Psalm 30 and verse 5. There may be sorrow during the night. That's the day of adversity. But just as surely as the day of adversity is there, you know that day is going to break, because the night cannot last forever. You know, that gives us assurance. Even in the cycles of days and times, nights and seasons, God gives us, you know, some understanding that these things are cycles. And same thing when you are, you're on a roll. When things are good, it may not always be like that. You know, sometimes, you know, the day itself also cannot last forever. Just like the night cannot last forever, the day cannot last forever, for now. There's coming a time, glory to God, when the day will last forever. When at even time it will be light, and there will be no night there, because God has done with that. But for now, we have to deal with these ups and downs, and so forth. Now, there are some times when you really have to shake yourself, and shake things out of your mind. And deal with things roughly, just as roughly they came with you. You can't, you know, if somebody deals with life, is dealing you a rough hand, then you yourself have to be rugged. You know, you can't sit down there and be a pushover. So Isaiah 52 verse 2 is my best encouraging scripture for that. He said, look, and I call it snap out of it, is what I call it. You know, because at times that you have to do self-deliverance. And times when you have to shake yourself from the dust. That's what he says. Shake thyself from the dust. I call it snap out of it. Now, sometimes people are in this self-pity and mourning situation. Snap out of it already. God, the God of Zion is your glory and the lifter up of your head. Don't let your head be tired of the king. Don't bow down your head. You know, in fact, you should not put ashes on your head. You are a princess or a prince, you know. So, you know, but there are times, you know, when challenges of life and different things come against us so much that, you know, it's like we're putting ashes on our heads, you know, and people going through, you know, it's really hard. But you got to shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O daughter. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Well, sometimes people try to do it, they can't. Then you get an anointed, powerful person to help you, unite with you, and break those chains. But most of the time, you can't do it yourself. Right now, he says, look, you should be able to do it yourself. Lose it. Don't put your neck inside that. And if you find your neck is there, could be, you know, through lack of wisdom or whatever. Well, get yourself out of it. Snap out of it. Break the bands around your neck. You know, don't let the devil put that thing around your neck. You know, don't be a captive. You know, I got the liberty of the sons of God. Glory to God. You know, so there are times when you've got to snap out of it and shake yourself like that. There are other times also when you have to encourage yourself with scriptures such as 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, well, blessed be the God who always causes us to triumph. Well, the fact that you are talking about triumph means that you are going through something. You know, but causing me to triumph means even though I knock down, I bounce back again. You know, knock down, but bounce back. I mean, look at all the things that Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. All the ways that the enemy come at him in different things. Say, we are troubled on every side. Yet, we're not distressed. You know, we're not going to give in. I mean, it's a lot of trouble. we wish we can avoid the trouble. But even if we don't avoid it, we've got to not succumb to it. You know, we're perplexed. Many times, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Well, he won't even stay down. Micah said, I'm not even going to stay down. Always bearing about in our body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not only did he die, but he also got out of that grave. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He come out of there. Praise the Lord. So we also ourselves, and no better way than what the way that he put it, Paul did in Romans 8 and verses 31 through about 38. He said, look, there are many things that come up against us in life. We know that. But the posture that we must develop is the, you know, bounce back resilience posture. Now we can bounce back from these things. What shall I say then to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? Nobody can condemn you about anything. You know, your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is the one that died for you. And ye rather is risen again and now at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. Who shall separate us? Or what? The only thing that separates you is your sin. You know, say the God's hand is not shutting that it cannot see. His ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. But your sin has made a separation between you and your God. You know, so that he will not hear. And if we take care of that, well, then there's nothing else. He said, look, what are these things that we face in life? Tribulation. We must face tribulation. Distress. You know, sometimes we are distressed. But, well, we're not, you know, in despair. I mean, sometimes we face persecution. Sometimes we face famine. or nakedness or peril or the sword. I mean, all these things may happen. He said, nay, that's no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just even conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he said, look, I am persuaded. Now, this is a bounce back attitude. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things, but even things that haven't happened yet. I don't care, you know, what the devil is threatening with, you know, whether I'm up, height, or I'm down, death, or any other creature. I'll be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. When you are anchored on his love is stronger. It holds you. It's an anchor that holds to the soul, you know, goes beyond the veil. It holds you down. You know, that love of God is stronger than the tribulation. It's stronger than your trials, your testings, and all these things, you know. And, but we must have that resilient mind that we are going to bounce back from all these adversities, you know. And don't let the enemy gloat over you. You know, you got to make up your mind. And I felt, you know, as a young man, I made up my mind that, look, I am not going to give the devil the satisfaction of thinking that he got one over me. No way. You know, it's a duel. It's a fight to the finish. But I know I've got this fight rigged in my favor because Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation and trials and testings and ups and downs. But be of good cheer. I've already overcome on your behalf. You know, John 16 and 33. We've got the victory already. When the devil gives a cheap shot, I'm not going to stay down for the count. I'm going to pick myself up in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to bounce back. Proverbs 24 and 16 says, a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he rise again. He will bounce back. He's not going to stay down for the count. 1, 2, 3. Some people are training. Like, well, let me take a full 8 count so that I can rest a bit. But better be careful if you're trying to take an 8 count. You know, 9 and 10 may creep up on you. Get out of that slumber. Hallelujah. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Ephesians 5 and 14. You know, and Christ will give you light. You know, get away from all the stuff. And get up, you know. I used to tell people when we first started this room, because, you know, there was just a lot of things that devil was throwing at people. And I said, look, you get up in the morning, you know, you look in the mirror, and you tell yourself some good things. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I'm the child of the king. I'm not doing that gloomy stuff. You tell that reflection you see in the mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Hallelujah. Do you see a champion? Do you see a rugged man of faith? Or do you see a pushover? I'm not a pushover. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to cower. You know, David, we talked about this the other day. He went to the so-called battle zone. He found all his brothers and the rest of his soldiers cowering in the corner. David said, look, I don't know about this, because his brother said, you know, Eliab said to him, what are you doing here? Coming to spy out the battle? He said, I don't see any battle. Well, you know, that's a man that's battle. David was battle tested, ladies and gentlemen. He had gone into battle with a lion. He had gone to battle with a bear and probably had a few scars to show for it. But he come out of that thing a winner. I said, well, why'd you get those scars? We should see the other guy. You know, but he come out of there a winner. And he knows how to win. Well, are you a winner? You know, or, you know, now that you're facing Goliath, are you going to hide in the corner somewhere? You know, no. I have to remember the victory that God gave you over the lion. The victory that God gave you over the beer. It took something from you. You went after, you got it back. That's how you do it. And you're not going to let the devil just take anything away from you and stay down for the count. No way. You're going to bounce back. Now remember, God wants us to develop resilience. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. I like the way he puts it. He said, look, you know, when you run against footmen and you are weary, how are you going to contend against horses? In other words, if smaller problems get you down and you cannot bounce back from smaller issues, how are you going to overcome greater things? I mean, you are on your mark, get set, go. Everybody is on foot and they weary you out. Then how are you going to run against horses? You can't even contend with people on foot just like yourself. Well, that means you must climb every mountain. You must win every battle. You go in, you win. You get knocked down, you get up. Hallelujah. You know, and the little things are practice for the bigger things that are coming. Every challenge that you win, you know, is a diadem in your crown. The challenge over the lion and the challenge over the bear, those were diadems in his crown. I got the victory over the lion. And I got the victory over the bear. I'm going to get the victory over this one too. You know, so that's how you do it. If you have run against footmen and you are weary, how are you going to contend against horses? If in the land of peace, well, I mean, some small problem gets you all riled up and gets you down. Well, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? When there's cataclysmic upheavals, when Jordan overswells, I mean, like a tsunami. If a little rain, you know, gets you so out of kilter, what are you going to do when a tsunami slams through your neighborhood? This is what he's saying, you know. So, now, we're not praying for tsunamis. We're not praying for, you know, upheaval of, you know, all things around me. But you got to develop that ruggedness to handle, you know. And then when situation comes, you must bounce back. You know, that's what we're talking about today. You know, get knocked down. But don't stay down for the count. Bounce down anyway. Praise the Lord. And remember the encouragement that the Lord gives. Isaiah 43 and 2. You know, when you are passing through, he said, I will be with you. So remember that. And sometimes it's like, look, you know, trouble's all around. The Lord said, I will be with you. Even when you are going through the fire, you coming out on the other side. Yeah, but, you know, when you're going through the fire, it's not funny at all. When you're going through the rivers, it's not funny. Because, you know, but he has given you assurance you will not drown and you will not be burnt. And he is going to get you out of there. That's the assurance, according to Isaiah 43 and 2. What does he say to you to encourage you in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8? He said, it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So don't be afraid. No matter what you are going through, remember the Lord thy God is with you. And look, you know, at times when you feel like you're falling away, your hand is slipping. You know, he's holding you, but your hand is falling off. No, he said, I will hold you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, I will uphold you. The right hand of my righteousness, you know, I will help you. He said, look unto me, I will help you. You know, he said, look, be not afraid. I will help you. I will uphold you. I'm going to hold you up. And these are, you know, encouragements that the Lord gives us, you know, when situation looks like they are really bad. You know, now, there is always hope of a bounce back. I love the way that Job chapter 14 puts it in verses 7 to 9. He said, there is hope, you know, even when things are dead, when they're dying or dead or rotting and so forth, there's even still hope of bounce back. Praise the Lord. You know, Job chapter 14, one of my favorite. I love it. And I call it the scent of water. When you get that, you know, when the tree is dying like that, and I've actually literally experienced this. I've had a tree, a shrub in my yard that was dying, that you know, I didn't want it to die. And it was dying and dead almost. I went out there, put a little water on it, and I said, well, this is your scent of water. And that tree came back to life. True story, you know, but here is the spiritual application of Job, you know, chapter 14, you know, verses 7. There is hope of a tree, though it be cut down, that it will bounce back again. That's what he's saying. It will sprout again. You know, whether it be cut back, bounce back. You know, sometimes you see, you know, those palm trees and those heavy winds that move, swing this way, you know, and then, you know, the wind passes and then they come back this way. You know, and they're still standing, you know. But sometimes the tree is cut down. The tree withers away. And we see it, you know. Here in the United States, we have all these seasons. During the fall, we see all the trees, you know, withering away, dried up. There's no leaves, everything fall on the ground. And so that's called fall. And then the next thing you know, things start to spring back again, you know. After winter, they die completely. But sometime in the spring, it might start to spring back again. These things go through a cycle. And this cycle, you know, it's the same as life. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about it. Time for this, time for that, time for this, time for that. You check it out. So there's hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. That's bouncing back. And the tender branches thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Well, yet through the scent of water, glory to God. May this message be a scent of water to you today that will cause you to receive hope and a lifting up of your head. Hallelujah. That you may bounce back from whatever situation that you are going through. Through the scent of water, it will bud again and bring forth boughs like a plant. Well, that's it. So the Lord is giving us encouragement today. Praise the Lord. And let's use this encouragement to encourage ourselves. Now, David, he faced through a lot of stuff too. And I've told the story of Ziklag. You know, how did he do it when there was, you know, evil, you know, evil all around him, evil noise, evil report, everything. Come back there and in Ziklag, 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 6, wives, sons and daughters, everything have been carried away captive. Well, what do you do in such a case? David said, you know, I encouraged myself in the Lord. That's what he did. Well, how did he encourage himself in the Lord? Well, read it in Psalm 42. He said, well, my soul, why are thou cast down? Why are thou disquieted within me? Well, I will yet praise the Lord. It will be the light of my countenance. I mean, in this situation, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going after the devil. And he was asked, shall I pursue? And the Lord said, yeah. Pursue, you get it all back. And he recovered all. The Bible says he recovered all. He recovered all. Because, you know, he could have just, I mean, at first, he really wept until he had no strength. He and all the people, they wept until there was no strength in them. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, you're overwhelmed. You just cry your heart out. That's okay. But after all that crying, what are you going to do? Are you going to cry forever? No. You can cry some. That's good. You know, actually, crying sometimes is good. You know, cry, do all of that, but cry unto the Lord. You know, don't cry in bitterness. You know, just cry unto the Lord. And it's good. And it will refresh you. Hallelujah. You know, and then well, once you gather yourself, you say, well, you know, now, you know, I'm not going to stay in this situation. Oh, no. You know, I mean, look at even the story of the prodigal son. I mean, he was a real problem with him. He was a young man that wasn't very smart. He came into a lot of wealth, but he had no discernment. He had no wisdom. You know, he had no prudence. squandered everything. And then he began to be in want. Well, he brought it upon himself. So sometimes we bring some things upon ourselves. But nevertheless, whether you brought it upon yourself or not, it doesn't matter. What does matter is, what are you going to do next? Is what I always said to people. What are you going to do next? Are you going to stay in that situation and bemoan your losses and stay there forever? What are you going to, pick up yourself and go back and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and give me a second chance, even as a servant. When he came, the best part of the story, as far as I'm concerned, from the young man's perspective, was he came to his senses one day. Well, and a better part of the story was even the father was waiting all the time. Praise God. So what are you going to do next when it seems that you've lost so much? Well, cry out to the Lord. That's okay. But after that, pick up yourself and say, Lord, I'm not going to stay in this situation. Hallelujah. We're not going to stay in that situation. Whatever that situation is, the Lord said, you have dwelt in this mountain long enough. It's time. It's time to shake yourself loose. Shake off yourself. Shake the dust. Loose the bands from your neck. It's time. Glory to God. Now, message of today is to bring a lifting up. A lifting up in Job chapter 22 and verse 29. When men are cast down, and there are people on this platform that are cast down from time to time, The psalmist said, look, I went with people that kept holy day in Psalm 42. People, you come on this platform, some people are rejoicing, but yeah, there's heaviness in your heart. You go to church with other believers, people are jumping up and down, but there's heaviness in your heart. Why? Well, because of a bad news, because of something happening to, a relative, something here and there, and so on. Just situations. All these situations, they come at us. They are designed by the master designer, the devil, crafty one. He comes out there, to steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life even. And he does all of that. But then he comes up against an even greater designer. That's the Lord. Lord masterminds all of that stuff that the devil is doing. The devil is cunning, and he knows how to do it. And Paul acknowledged it. Sometimes people say, well, don't worry about the devil. Well, you better worry. But not that kind of worry that puts you in a defeated attitude. The kind of worry that puts your antennas up. We're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. A lot of people are ignorant. So let's not be ignorant. The device of the devil is to give you sad news, bad news, all these things and so forth, and pummel you down with these things. Once you are going through one thing, another thing comes. Look at the story of Job. I didn't even finish hearing about one thing and something else came. I don't finish hearing about that one. Another thing came. Sometimes you find out you're dealing with one loss and then there's another thing you're dealing with. And then there's yet another thing. And there's yet another thing. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's the question today. Are you going to succumb under these things or are you going to bounce back? And sometimes it's very hard for somebody to bounce back. That's why they need some propping up. They need your prayers. People that are going through, they need prayers. Paul always say, pray for us, pray for us because, we are encountering people that are not reasonable and all these kind of things. Pray for us. The situation is hard. Pray for your brethren. Pray for one another. Uphold one another. That's how you do it. There needs to be a support system. Praise the Lord. And not just prayer, physical support too, emotional support, and so on. Sometimes when people are going through, maybe they're about to lose their home, be kicked out of the street and so forth. Support can come. They lose their job. Support can come from brothers and sisters to help them get through that and so forth. This is what we do. That's why we are here. That's why you are not alone. You're not alone. Praise God. You're not out in the desert as just, something cactus by itself. No, we're a community. And communities can help people to bounce back. You know, there were times that the psalmist felt all alone. You know, running from pillar to post many times, running for his life. But he said, look, my days are consumed like the smoke. Psalm 102 and verse 3. My bones are burned as an heart. My heart is smitten and withered like the grass. Well, what do you do when you are in that situation? Well, you need to praise the Lord. You know, praise can break that power. The burden, the garment of heaviness, God said, you know, garment of praise can break that. You know, you begin to praise the Lord. It will refresh you. The breeze of his spirit. He said, look, there are times when I forget to eat my bread. I mean, the voice of, you know, groaning within my bones, cleaving to my skin. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I feel all alone. Well, you're not alone, said the Lord. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes I feel like an owl in the desert, he said. I'm like, you know, a sparrow alone on the mountaintop. I mean, on the housetop. And you just feel so all alone. And you know, the devil is tricky too. He's a master at it. He's a master of deceit. You know, he designed all these things, you know, against you and all these voices and things. And, he's crooked at it. People, when they go through, the devil will tell them, you know, stay by yourself. Nobody cares about you. Just stay all alone. And then they withdraw, see? And they withdraw, then you become even an easier target for the devil. Because now you don't have your support system anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you do it. Don't you withdraw. You know, Bible says don't forsake the assembly. Don't withdraw. That's not the time for you to withdraw from the Lord or from your support system. Well, most people do. They withdraw. They keep to themselves. You don't see them for weeks. You say, oh, I'm going through. You're going through. Don't go through all alone. Hallelujah. You know, we're right here to support you. We're in your corner saying, don't give up. Get up. Hallelujah. Get up. The angel of the Lord is in your corner. The Holy Spirit is in your corner. We are in your corner telling you to get up. Don't throw in the towel. Get up. Get up. Come out of that slum. Praise God. You know, so don't you stay away. When you stay away, when you are a loner, you're an easy target. You know, that prowling tiger or lion or, you know, leopard and so forth, looking at that flock of deer, he doesn't know who to attack, you know, which one to attack, because they're all clustered together. So he's just prowling, getting closer, but he can't attack them all. You know, so they're bunched together like that. They create a defense system. But the moment one of them leaves that gathering, walks away, and says, well, I'm going to go down to the water by myself. I'm going. You know, dead meat. It's dead meat then. Now the prowler can target on that thing. So help that thing. There is no escape. Because now you have left the pack. You are all alone. An easy target. You know, so let's not do it. You know, let's strengthen one another. You know, the unity of the faith, brethren getting together, that's where God commanded the blessing. Even life forevermore. Well, that's what the psalmist said. You know, he said, look, how wonderful it is, you know, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, that's where the Lord commanded the blessing. Even life forevermore. Yeah, you know, it said, look, it's like oil have came down from the, you know, head of Aaron and so forth. You know, it's an anointing that God puts there. The unity of faith when we're praying for one another. This is what gives strength to people to bounce back. Receive that encouragement. Even Moses, you know, as long as he held his arms up, Joshua was winning the battle down below. But when his hands got heavy, Joshua started to lose. Well, what happened next? Aaron and Hur came there, propped up his hands. And then Joshua started to win again. It's a lesson that, look, sometimes you can't be there all alone. you need an Aaron and you need a Hur to prop up your hands. The hands that hang down, the knees that are feeble, the head that are bowed, they can be raised through a scent of water like this. Like this exhortation here this morning. This message will bring you, you know, help you raise your head up. Praise the Lord. And to also encourage us to look out for each other. And if you don't see somebody or hear from them for a while, well, maybe they are going through. And maybe the devil is being, you know, at his old tricks again. Designing things to help them, I mean, to, you know, push them into a corner. To think that they, you know, they're all alone and nobody cares. You know, I've heard stories. People say, nobody knows the trouble. I mean, I hate that song. You know, nobody knows what. The Lord knows your troubles. He knows everything, you know. And God might even reveal some things to some prayer warriors to be praying for you. And you're not never alone. Don't fall for that nonsense. That's how people go into depression. The devil will trick them into thinking that they're all alone. And then they're just there. And they, you know, they get deeper and deeper and deeper into sorrow. Well, snap out of it, saith the Lord. You know, shake yourself from the bands. You know, shake yourself from the dust and loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Well, you can bounce back. In the name of the Lord. The Lord has given us tools and encouragement enough. Plenty through this message. Plenty through all of these messages we've been hearing. To be able to bounce back. Hallelujah. Bounce back. And the Lord will give you the victory. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray over the people in the room. Remember that we are in a fight. And we are not. You know, look, if you don't know what you are fighting, you're likely going to lose. That's why, you know, armies and different things, they have intelligence. They, you know, try to figure out what their enemy is and so on and what they do. And if you don't know it, well, you know, but you've got to be determined that you're going to finish the race and finish strong. You're not going to be fighting and beating the air. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they that are in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. We said this the other day. Every man that striveth in mastery is temperate in all things. They put their body through training, a training regimen. You know, athletes, they have to go through this training, discipline. You know, they have to do strength training. They have to do resistance training. They have to do speed training or whatever. You know, they have to do all of these things. Well, they're doing it to obtain an incorruptible crown. I mean, a corruptible crown. But we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. Therefore, I so run, he said, you know, not as uncertainly, not as one that's beating the air. You know, I'm not just shadow boxing. I don't do that. I'm laser focused, laser focused. I know where to hit. That's right. You know, so how do you do that? Well, you keep your body under, you know, and, you know, you don't let the devil get one over your mind too. Open your mind, declare to yourself, I declare that my mind is clear to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. I declare that I have the mind of Christ. I'm not confused. Hallelujah. I declare that I have the light of life. I'm not walking in darkness. Hallelujah. I declare that I'm a child of the King. You know, my head is lifted up. You know, I have a goodly heritage. The lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. And I declare that though the enemy had tried to push me over, pull me down, knock me down, so forth, I shall arise. I shall arise, because the Lord will lift me up, and the Lord will be the glory and the lifter up of my head. Father, I pray for your children that are in the room today and those that may listen to this encouragement message today or later on, that, Lord, their hands that hang down will be strengthened. The knees that are feeble will receive strength also. Hands raised, knees receiving strength, heads lifted up. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Don't let this head be bowed down. And if the enemy knocks you down, don't stay down. Hallelujah. And sometimes you got to reach out for help. You got to cry out for help. Peter cried out for help when he was sinking after he lost focus. And he started to sink. He cried out to the Lord. And the Lord saved him. Now we got to cry out. And I pray that as many as are crying out here today, the Lord will hear your cry. You may be crying out for a family member. You may be crying out for your own situation. I mean, there may be multiple things going on at once. You know, that's how the devil designed this thing. As I call him, master designer. I'm not giving him any credit. I'm exposing him. You know, he would design one thing after the other. You know, come, you saw it in the story of Job. Come out against you from every angle. But he come up against the great I am that I am. And the Lord already knows how to mastermind him. And God can checkmate that devil right out of the box. And every move that the devil's ever going to make, God already knows it. But he will allow us sometimes to go through to develop this character and this resilience. Will you trust the Lord? Will you put your hands in my hand, saith the Lord, even this morning? For I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. Hallelujah. And I will never be. You'll never be alone because I'll never leave you alone. The Lord said, I will always be there with you. Glory to God. You know, these things are designed to make you take root downward and be solid, saith the Lord. Then you'll bear fruit upward. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he will look at it and he will say yes. And when you need it the most, the Lord will send an angel to strengthen you, such as this message. This is the angelic strengthening coming to you in this message today to receive grace and strength for the journey. And sometimes, you know, you got to receive that strength. When the journey was great ahead of Elijah, well, the angel came and gave him food, and strengthened him and gave him food again. I said, well, the journey ahead of you is great, so eat. Well, may you all eat of this spiritual manna today to strengthen you for the days ahead in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to turn my attention to the things that are buffeting you. That's right. Sickness, disease, evil news, evil trouble. I mean, here and there. Well, I come against those things in the name of Jesus. The Bible says pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now, the devil, you know, why does the devil imagine strange things? You know, he imagines strange things because he wants to pull you down. And we come against those things. I sanctify my ears now. Let your ears be sanctified. I plead the blood of Jesus over your ears that you will hear no evil. And I plead the blood of Jesus over your eyes that you see no evil. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind that you think no evil. I plead the blood of Jesus over your tongue that you speak no evil. Hallelujah. And I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed because I'm trusting in the Lord. I don't care about tidings from, you know, far or near. I'm going to believe the Lord, you know. And sometimes there's rumblings that they're, you know, they're going to lay off people on your job. And then people will start to fret and fear and so forth. And, the, you know, Job chapter 3:25 says, the thing which I've greatly feared has come upon me. Now, don't be afraid. You know, when you hear these rumblings, don't let fear grip you. Because, you know, that is an opening. That fear is an opening to many things. And it has torment, finally. I pray that the Lord will release you from the spirit of fear. For he has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. But the spirit of power and of a sound mind. We can call God our Father. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for victory to everyone that's in the room today. And the word of encouragement that we share this morning, may it strengthen everybody through their situations. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.